Tonight I'm going to start a new series as we left the Baptist distinctives, and it's a very tonight's series is a very practical one. It's an introductory message tonight, and something I alluded to in the men's prayer breakfast a few weeks ago, and I know you ladies are saying, "Well, how are we supposed to know that?" I know you're not supposed to know that, but something that the Lord has been working in my heart about, and so I felt since I needed it and I wanted to help, that I thought you might be helped by it as well.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4, notice verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus."
Amen.
"Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things."
Amen.
And we're going to stop there. What I'm going to preach on for the next few weeks, I'm not sure how long. I'm not even sure exactly where this is going. I know an idea of the topic. But it is going to touch on some perhaps somewhat controversial things in the day that we live in. And I'm not doing this to be controversial. I'm doing this to try to be helpful to us. Amen? And that's what I'm looking at tonight. So kind of an introductory lane, some foundational type message here, foundation work and so forth. So let's pray together. Father, please help me tonight. I recognize that we need you. And I need a fresh filling of thy spirit as I preach thy word. And Lord, as I give what perhaps is somewhat of an instructional message tonight, I pray that we would apply it to our lives. Please help us all in this area of life, Lord, that I believe we all do in some form, to some degree, struggle with. And so I pray you'd help me. Lead and direct my thoughts and words and rebuke and bind the devil tonight. We know he's going to hate the preaching on this subject because this is one of his strongholds in our lives. So I pray you'd help us now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight, again, I'd like to begin a series of messages, not sure how many, on a very practical subject of which is the result of several things. Number one is the result of a need to help myself in this area of life using biblical principles. I don't know about you, but I have at times been called an overthinker. Is anyone else like that in here? You just think a lot, right? You always overthink things. And I've been called that at times, and not in a complimentary way. And with all the things going on in this world, and it's easy to find ourselves wrapped up in overthinking, is it not? Thinking in a way that can affect our walk with God, or our service to God, because we're thinking in a negative way. You may or may not know this, but when I went to secular college, I went 2 years at Widener. It was a college at that time, not yet a university. I did not finish. I left there to go into, when the casinos opened, you know my story down there, and well, up there from here. But anyway, I entered in as a psychology major. I really did. Some of the classes I had taken in my first 2 years, or really my first year because I switched over my second year, but I took introductory to psychology, Psych 101. I took sociology. I took child development and all those things. And even then, as a lost man, it seemed to me that many of psychology's different theories about human behavior, at least in my opinion, were questionable, even odd, to say the least. May I say this, that secular psychology is fundamentally wrong in its foundation?
Amen.
I got an amen by maybe 1.5 right there.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Secular psychology is fundamentally wrong at its foundation. You say, why is that? Because it leaves God and his word out of the equation.
Amen.
And the Bible says in Psalm 14:1, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God."
Amen.
Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." You leave God out of your solution. Your solution is fundamentally flawed.
Amen.
I hope you understand that. So I already believed, and by the way, still do believe, that secular psychology does not provide solid, lasting solutions to mankind's non-physiological mental problems. Now, I believe that. There's no doubt that there is some benefit to some things in psychology, but many of their solutions only heal slightly, as mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 7, and again, is flawed at the very foundation, and as Jeremiah said, I believe them to be broken cisterns that can hold no water.
Amen.
I truly believe, and I believe you're a Baptist, amen, we're here tonight in church, in a Bible-believing church. I truly believe that the Bible has all the answers we need.
Praise the Lord.
2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that the Bible has everything I need to live the Christian life?
Praise the Lord.
I hope you believe that.
Amen.
But secondly, this series is also the result of a sermon series that I partially listened to on this subject. As I was helped by the preaching on this subject, I wanted to bring the same subject to us in my own way and hopefully be a help to you. Third thing that birthed this series are two books I came across dealing with the subject that I found to be helpful and informative. One is entitled, and I'll be pulling some of this from this book, and you may have it, and certainly it won't be the exact book, but it's called Switch on Your Brain. It is written by Dr. Caroline Leaf, a Christian doctor who has worked in the area of cognitive neuroscience since 1985. It's a good book. I think it's worth reading, Switch on Your Brain. And then a secular book, which is an eye-opening book written by a secular writer, I thought to be amazing. I saw the title, and I said, I have to look at this, knowing what I had learned about psychology. Robert Whittaker, and I'm going to quote him tonight, entitled Anatomy of an Epidemic. It gives a historical account of the long-term failure and even harm, may I say, of America's psychological system and its medicating of America. It's in epidemic proportions, if you don't know that, but it is. And then the fourth thing is this, a struggle that I see as a pastor of many Christians go through in this area of life. Too many Christians are losing the battle that takes place in the mind.
Amen.
I don't ask you tonight, are you winning it or are you losing it? So you see, I've entitled this series, The Battle, notice, in the mind. Not of the mind or for the mind, but in the mind.
Amen.
There is a battle in your mind and my mind every single moment. Who's winning? Now, we got all kinds of noises going off in here. I don't know what it is, but I guess the devil hates this message or something. I don't know. But you know, there's literally hundreds of verses in the Bible that deal with our minds. Look at what I just read. Let be careful, full of care for nothing. We talk about the last verse 8 at the end. Think on these things. Again, verse 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There are 108 verses in the Bible that mention the word mind. 108. There are over 200 verses in the Bible that use the word think or thinking or thinketh or thought and so forth. These verses instruct us on things like this, the kind of mind we should have. You say, how do I get the kind of mind God wants me to have? We're going to see that in a little bit. It instructs us on what to think, how to think, what not to think. There's a lot of verses in the Bible on thinking, and so the mind understands something is very, very important to understand biblically.
Amen.
May I go as far to say this, the primary battle that you and I face is in the mind.
Amen.
And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. So tonight I want to preach on this subject. This is title number one of sermon number one here on the series of Battle in the Mind. Notice in verse 8, think on these things.
Amen.
Let's talk tonight and deal with this subject of the battle in the mind. I'm going to lay some groundwork tonight and get into more details. So I may say some things tonight. You say, boy, I wish you'd talk a lot more about that. And I may a little bit later, but let me lay some foundation if you would, please. Number one, write this down, the problem that we face. You know, in both of these Bible passages we're going to look at here in a moment, Philippians 4 and verse 6 and 7, we just read it, be careful for nothing in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then turn over, if you will, to John chapter 14 as I read on in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So notice he's talking about the peace of God. Go over to John chapter 14, and I want you to see what Jesus said to his disciples here. Notice he said, John chapter 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Notice, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In both of these passages, Philippians chapter 4 and John chapter 14, the Lord promises you and he promises me, those of us that know him as Savior, he promises us peace.
Amen. Yeah.
Peace. A personal peace in our hearts. And I want to ask you and I want to ask myself tonight, do we have it? You know, Psalm 23 and verse 5 gives us an illustration of this peace. We know the 23rd Psalm. We read it often. And this verse has, for some reason, I think my wife and I have talked about this, in verse 5, is just an amazing thought. We read in verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God is saying here that he prepares a table for us. Imagine, while there is warfare going on all around us, we can be sitting there in a field eating while everything's breaking out, mayhem all around us, having the peace of God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That's the kind of peace you and I should have.
Amen.
You see, while everything is raging around us, Jesus Christ says that in the midst of all of this, you and I can have his peace.
Amen.
But I want to ask myself sometimes, where is that peace? And I want to ask you that too. Where is that peace? And why don't I have it at times? Why don't you have it at times? Why don't we have this peace? It's promised for us here in the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, if there's one word that does not describe this world and the people of this world, it's peace. There's no peace in this world. You know, a more accurate description of the mental state of people today would be words like this: anxiety. Words like depression. Words like worry and unrest. How about this word? Stress. How about hyperactivity? Going from one thing to another. Listen to what Robert Whittaker says. The modern era of psychiatry could be said to have begun in 1954. It was then that the first drug was introduced as a specific antidote to a mental disorder. In other words, the first drug that was introduced to deal with mental disorders was in 1954. It was Thorazine. It was said to be an antipsychotic medication. This kicked off, he writes in his book, a psychopharmacological revolution. And that's true. From that point on, soon, antidepressants and anti-anxiety agents were discovered. It is now said that, quote, the development of powerful drugs has revolutionized the treatment of mental illness. Well, that's interesting. Because you would think that 64 years later, here in 2018, if it was first, drugs were first introduced to help people with the mind, and that we have so much advances more today, then with all of these new breakthroughs, we should be getting better mentally. We're not.
Right. Amen.
That's not news, right?
Right.
We're not. You know, in 1955, there were 355,000 people in the state and country mental hospitals because of psychiatric diagnoses, one in 468 Americans. In 1987, jump 32 years, 1.25 million people considered disabled by mental illness, one in 184 Americans. 2007, the disability rate of mental illness soared to nearly 4 million, 1 in 76 Americans. Now, 11 years later, 2018, 1 in 6 Americans take a psychiatric drug.
Wow.
1 in 6. The most common antidepressants, anxiety relievers, and antipsychotics. Over the past 50 years, the number of mentally ill in the United States has absolutely skyrocketed. Let's talk about children. From 1990 to 2007, mental disorders in children have rose 35-fold. Mental illness is now the leading cause of disability in children. Do you know that 20% of all boys in high schools are on antipsychotic drugs? 20%. While the teen suicide rate is up 70%, even USA Today in March of 2018 said about suicide that it's absolutely soaring in youth in America today. You know what we've become? We have become human guinea pigs of the failing theories of psychoanalysis.
Right.
I told you it'd be a little controversial. And you know what leads the way in adults and children? Depression and anxiety. You know, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, the most common mental disorder in the United States today is anxiety. Anxiety, I'll define it a little later. We'll get into that, not tonight. With all the material wealth you'd think in America, think about this. We live in America.
Amen.
We are the richest country in the world.
Right.
Look at the size of our houses. Look at the things we possess. Look at the stuff we got. I mean, think about that for a moment. With all the latest conveniences, all the luxuries we have, all the wealth we experience, you'd think that Americans would be the most content people in the entire world. We're not. We're not even close. One author wrote this: the United States is considered to be one of the most anxious nations on the face of the earth. It's crazy. No pun intended. Where is the peace of God that God promised? Really, where is it? Where is God's peace? You say, well, God didn't promise peace to the world. He did. He promised believers peace. And you're right. That's absolutely true. We shouldn't expect that in the world. That's the way it's going to go. That's where it is when you don't know God and you don't put the Lord in his proper place. But I want to ask this. Why do so many believers lack God's peace? Why? Why do many believers often struggle with either chronic, meaning continual, or acute, meaning waves of, times of, occasions of, bouts of anxiety and stress, depression, worry, unrest, hyperactivity, irritability, you name it, to the point where it affects our spirit? It affects our attitude. It even goes on to affect our service to God. It even, for some who really can't deal with it and cope with life, it cripples them and paralyzes them. You say, well, it's not going to happen to me. Be careful.
That's right.
Well, I'm strong. Be careful. Do you know someone who, it may surprise you, that had bouts of depression throughout all of his life? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He suffered from depression quite often, particularly after the fire. Someone had screamed out fire in one of his services, and people began to stampede, and there was no fire, and someone was just saying that, and it killed several people. And he didn't want to enter into the pulpit. And it wasn't just that event. It was throughout much of his adult life that he had bouts of depression where he could not preach. Wait a minute, the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon? Yes! Can happen to any of us.
Amen.
But may I suggest tonight, now listen closely, outside of a physiological condition, the battle's in the mind.
Amen.
There are physiological things, and we'll deal with that. But I'm talking about if that's not there. The battle is in the mind. We lack peace because we are not thinking right.
Amen.
We're not thinking right. Let me throw out this disclaimer. If you're taking some kind of medication for something that I just mentioned, do not stop. I am not a medical doctor, okay? Don't talk to your doctor about that. But what I am saying is this, shouldn't we as believers do everything within our power to deal with the spiritual side of this? To deal with this epidemic that we're seeing throughout our ranks, independent fundamental Baptist ranks, that is causing us, paralyzing us as a people. And this may be more of the cause, this spiritual side, than we've ever thought or ever realized. Perhaps we're having a thinking problem.
Amen.
And I really believe we are. And by the way, I line up there right there with you because I overthink so many things. And so do you. Many of you. So we see the problem that we face. It is a thinking problem. Notice secondly, number two, the place of the battle. Where is this battle? Well, you get where we're going. Go over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We need to understand something. And I hope you hear me out. Don't jump to conclusions right away. But Romans chapter 12, you know the verse in verse 2. Notice, and be not conformed to this world. Watch this. But be ye transformed. Here it is, by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
You see, what believers need to understand is this. The great battle that we face, write it down there, is in our own minds.
Amen.
You know, God created us in His image. You understand that? We're not like animals. Amen. We are trichotomies. We are three-part beings. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. We understand the body is our outward being, five senses. We understand our spirit is the real us. It's where God's spirit dwells when we get saved. His spirit dwells in our spirit. But then there's a third part of that us, and that is our soul. We have our body and our soul and our spirit. And our soul is made up of our emotion and our intellect and our will. To sum it up in one word, we could say it's the mind.
Amen.
It's the mind. Now, when you and I got saved, if you're here tonight and you're saved, here's the good news. God redeemed us. We are saved. We're born again. Heaven's our home. Praise God for that. Watch this though now. Our spirit has been redeemed. But our bodies haven't. I don't think so. I see people limping in. I see boots. I see, I see lots of things. We're not redeemed yet, amen. Aches and pains, there they are. Our soul, our body, and our soul, understand those are awaiting redemption. Now, thank God one day we're going to get a new one, amen. I've got a new mind, amen. I'm ready to get rid of this one, amen. We'll get a new body and all of that. Romans 8:28, watch this. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We're groaning for that day when we're renewed totally.
Amen.
Now, we're spirit, we are. Now, the devil knows that he cannot touch our spirits. He can't. Our spirits are secure. Our spirits are redeemed. Again, we're eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does the devil do? Well, he can't attack our spirits, so he goes after the next best thing, our minds. See, in an attempt to stop you and me from serving God, that's what he wants, by the way. First of all, he didn't want you to get saved. The God of this world blinds the minds of them that believe not. But if you're saved, praise God, you got saved. Amen. So he can't take that away. So the next thing is, he wants to stop you from serving the Lord. He wants to stop me from serving the Lord. He wants to neutralize us in the work of God. How? By many ways, but one of the ways that pertains to what we're talking about tonight is he tries to discourage us. He tries to cause anxiety and depression and stress and make you and I no good for the kingdom of God.
Right.
And so he attacks our minds. You know, it is, understand, it is with our minds that we reject or believe the lies of Satan.
Amen.
And spiral downward into mental and spiritual and even physical disarray. I'll talk about that in a moment. Or we can use our minds to decide to accept and believe by faith the truth of God's word. Again, the battle that you and I face is in the mind. Now, you and I cannot control our circumstances. We cannot control the events that God brings into our lives. We cannot control the things other people do to us or the things other people do. But we can control how we react to the events and circumstances
Amen.
Of our lives. And that reaction all takes place right here in the mind. That's where the place of the battle is. You say, not much of a battlefield. Well, maybe not. But it's a battlefield. So we see the problem we face. Number two, the place of the battle. And then number three, notice the power of our thinking. Now let's talk about this for a moment here. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 2. So we face this problem, and the place is in our minds, the battle's there. Understand the power of your thinking and mind. You know, you may think that your thinking doesn't make that much of a difference. Oh, it does. How you think, how I think, how we respond to things, how we see things, how we process the events and circumstances that happen to us. And God wants us to think biblically. He wants us to respond to the events and circumstances of our lives with the mind of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. I'm going the wrong way in my Bible. Philippians 2 and verse 5. You know the verse. Notice, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Understand, this is not some insignificant command. It's not just some catchphrase. Let this mind be in you. Okay, out of the mind of Christ. Okay. It is a very, very important phrase to understand. Because we need to be thinking right. Now, before I go any further, let me just say this, lest others may think I'm going in a different direction. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking tonight. You understand that, right? I'm not talking about some psychobabble, how to get you to become an optimist, you know. And I'm not some cheesy Joel Osteen. This is not that kind of sermon, amen? It's talking about thinking biblical. We're talking about getting your mind and my mind to line up with the truth of God's word in every situation. In everything that we see.
Amen.
Thinking right. You know, I don't know if we fully comprehend the power of our thinking. I don't. And how our thinking affects our lives. But it does. Let me show you what I mean on the backside there. Let's talk about the four areas. This is how important our thinking is. Number one is this. Our thinking affects our actions. Now, everybody go to Proverbs, after you write that down. Proverbs 23 and verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 7. Now, you may know these verses already, but please bear with me. Go there and listen to them in the context of what we're talking about. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Notice the first part of the phrase, the verse. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
Now, that's powerful. That shows you the power of thinking, the influence of our thinking. As you and I think, so are we.
Amen.
Now, here is a formula that I want you to notice and note and remember. Our behavior is a product of our thinking. What you do, you do. The way you act, the mood you're in, is all a result of your thinking, and mine is mine. So watch this. Our thoughts affect our emotions, and our emotions influence our behavior.
Right.
Now keep that straight. We're going to hear this probably throughout the series. How you and I think affects our emotions. A little twisted up today, you're thinking wrong. You got you a little bit anxious today or stressed out today or maybe hyperactive today? Your thinking's wrong. Something's wrong there, because your thoughts affect your emotions, and your emotions affect your behavior. Don't miss that. Because your thoughts actually produce emotions. And again, those emotions in turn control your behavior. So that's very important that to note that our thinking affects our actions. But there's another place. Our thinking, letter B, also affects our bodies. Not just in the fact that we control what we do, our thinking is our actions a product of our thinking, but go over to Proverbs 17 and verse 22. Notice what we read. Notice, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So watch this. Not only does my thinking affect my actions, it produces my thoughts, produce emotions that affect my actions, but also my thinking actually affects your health, your body. Do you know that the way you and I think, and this is a no-brainer, studies have showed this, and we know this through our own lives, that the way we think has a physiological effect on our bodies. Really does. People who allow their thinking to lead them to anxiety, to stress, and to depression in any prolonged way, you're going to watch your health go down. You believe that? It's true. July 2018 article, I was going to say 19, but it's an 18, it's not 19 yet. Article, Medical News Today. Zahn Villeens and Dr. Timothy Legge wrote how depression, anxiety, stress, all those sorts of things affect people physiologically. Listen to what they say, and I'm summing it up here, it's not a quote. Depression, anxiety can cause the following: headaches, insomnia, fatigue, chronic pain. Let me back up a minute. How many of you, and by the way, this happens to me almost every Sunday night, you can ask my wife, I can't shut my brain off. You know that anxiety, and I'll deal with this later, is really an inability to shut the brain off. That's what it is. And I have to do something to mold my thinking. I have to listen, believe it or not, listen to a sermon or something Sunday night. Why? So I'm just thinking about something else and I can calm down. But understand something, that sort of, it affects us in fatigue. Again, you could be up all night. Why? Because you're stressed out. Because of anxiety. It can cause chronic pain. It can cause heart disease. It causes, I shouldn't say, it does cause things like weight gain or loss. It causes nausea. It causes joint inflammation. And it even affects the immune system. You know what it's like? You can get an ulcer from worrying. You can get all stressed out and just, you just don't feel like getting out of bed when the problems are loaded on and you're not dealing with them properly. Again, it doesn't mean if you have any of those things, insomnia or fatigue or chronic pain, that you have a thinking problem, but it does mean this, that a thinking problem can cause some of those things. Absolutely can. Do you know the association between stress and disease is a colossal 85%? 85% of the things we see are a result of stress, anxiety, those sorts of things, not thinking right. My point is this, again, our thinking affects what we do, our moods, our attitudes, but it also affects our bodies. There's a third thing it affects. And that is those around us. Amen. I don't have to spend a whole lot of time there, do I? I mean, somebody comes in and they're moody, or they have a bad spirit, or they have an attitude. Have you ever walked in a room and you can feel the spirit of something's wrong here? Something's going on here. By the way, sometimes you walk into a church and it's like that. Thank the Lord it's not here.
Amen.
But you get a wrong spirit in there, and that wrong spirit affects another spirit, another spirit. You'll walk into an auditorium like this, and you'll know something's up. We affect one another.
Amen.
If you're stressed, if you're anxious, if you are complaining about all these things in your life, and you're moody and all of that, understand, you will affect people around you. It's not just about you. It's about those around you as well. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That means if we're around somebody, it's going to rub off. If we're around something bad, it's going to corrupt us. That's the way it goes. But then there's a fourth thing, and that is this. It not only affects our actions, our bodies, and those around us. Get this one. Our thinking affects our thinking. Doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about. It's an ugly circle, is it not? How many have been there? Everybody raise your hand right there. Right where you've been there. It's a circle. It's an ugly thinking circle. You think wrong, which causes you to have wrong actions. Then from those wrong actions, you have the guilt. And that guilt causes you to think wrong again. And then here it is, this cycle, this evil thing going round and round again, over and over. My point is this, with all of these things, is that thinking wrong is not a harmless thing.
Amen.
It can put you in an early grave,
right,
and me in an early grave. How we think has an enormous impact on our spiritual health, our mental health, our physical health, and even the spiritual health of those around us.
Right.
That's how powerful it is. You say, well, I'm just going to be depressed. Be careful. You're self-destructing if you don't get it straight. You're throwing out your service to God if you don't get it straight. You're ruining your body if you don't get it straight. You say, how can I get it straight? Well, that's what this series is about.
Praise the Lord.
It's about you and me dealing with this stuff we're seeing of people all around that are anxiety and depression and stress and mood. And it all can be traced back, again, not the physiological stuff, traced back to our thinking.
Amen.
The battle's in the mind. And then number four, and we're done right here. We're going to get done early tonight. Hallelujah, little shopper's night, amen. The problem we face, the place of the battle, the power of thinking, then lastly, here it is, the presiding over our thinking. If you don't get anything else out of what you got so far tonight, get this one. And here it is, down the bottom, we can control our thoughts.
Amen.
Can we say that together? We can control our thoughts. One more time. We can control our thoughts.
Amen.
Do you believe that? Amen. We can. You see, that's where this whole system that we're seeing out in this world, they've convinced us, well, you're sick and you need medication. It's not your fault. It's not your fault at all. You know, it's something that happened to you in the past, and you just have to work through this, you know. You have this. Hold on a minute here. We can control our thoughts. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to control our
Amen.
Thoughts. And this series, I'm going to teach you from the Word of God, not because I'm anything great, but from what the Bible says, how you and I can control our thinking. Philippians 4:8 says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. You know the verse I said it. Just, pure, lovely, good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, you know the phrase. Think on these things.
Amen.
God's saying, look, here's some things. Here's what I want you to do. Stop thinking about those other things and start thinking about these things.
Amen.
Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He's telling us not to think that. Don't think that way. That means we can control it. Well, I can't help it, Lord. I just can't help it. You can help it. And so can I. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Again, he says, take no thought. Don't think about that stuff.
Amen.
Let me show you a verse that's going to be perhaps the theme verse for this series. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to spend some time in this one in a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you have this idea that you cannot control your thinking, can I say this? Stop.
Amen.
Just stop. Listen to what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Watch this. Casting down imaginations And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, here it is, and bringing into captivity every what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
Notice, we are able to control our thoughts. Christ is saying here, all that stuff out there that you shouldn't be thinking out, all that wrong thinking, that wrong way you're going, cast it away, bring every thought of yours under the obedience of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Start thinking right.
Amen.
Would you write this phrase down? I am not a victim of my thoughts. That's one of the problems. We have this victim mentality. Oh, I'm a victim and I can't help it. We're not a victim of our thoughts. We're not a victim of our circumstances. We're not a victim of our past.
Well, you don't know what happened to me. Preacher, you're so cold and
stop thinking about it.
Amen.
Well, I have to get closure.
Can someone please tell me what that means, that word closure? That's a phrase we use. I have to get closure. I have to put it behind. Stop thinking about it.
Amen.
That's the way you deal with it. We need to stop making that excuse. I just can't stop thinking about it. I just can't get over it. I just can't stop thinking this way. You can.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can control my thoughts by consciously directing my thinking.
Amen.
And you say, what in the world is that picture doing there? Here's what it's there for. Someone put it this way, and I like this. We can't stop a bird from flying over our head, but we can stop a bird from building a nest in our hair.
Amen.
You understand what that means, right? In other words, thoughts come through that, whoa, where'd that one come from, right? That's not a good thing to think about, right? Again, we can't stop many times a fleeing thought to come through. We're not talking about that, but we can stop from dwelling on it.
Amen.
And stirring it up in our minds. And you know what we don't have is we think of something, and boy, I know. And I go over it, and I go over it, and I go over it, and I go over it. You ought to thank God for your preacher's wife. Sometimes she said, you need to stop thinking about that. You just need to put that aside.
Amen.
And I say, you're right. You're right. Because you know what? All I'm doing is I'm digging a hole of anxiety and stress. And you know, many times the things I'm thinking about don't even end up happening anyway. Or they weren't exactly the way I thought it was anyway. And here I am thinking and thinking and thinking and getting stressed out about it. And anxiety and all of those things. Stop thinking. You can. You know, one of the most powerful things that you and I possess is the God-given ability to think and to choose. And we don't have to dwell on things. We don't have to dwell on our past. We don't have to dwell on some traumatic event that happened to you. And again, I'm like you. Something happens. Boy, I want to go back there and revisit it sometime. I got to say, no, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to think about it. Don't dwell on your circumstances. It all starts in the realm of the mind.
Amen.
And our ability to think and choose. Again, the battle is in the mind. You know, something wonderful is going to happen when we get, hopefully, through these next few sermons. When we get this thinking biblically and understanding how to do it, I'm going to show you. You know what's going to happen? One verse and we're done. Isaiah 26. Let's go there. I know some of you shut your Bibles. Open them back up. I must, like, have a certain tone when I'm winding down, because some of you read me really good. I mean, it's like you see where my notes are, and you're like, here it is. He's right there at the end. You must count the pages or something. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Could we maybe dwell on this one here as well?
Amen.
Here it is. Thou wilt keep him in perfect what?
Peace.
Whose what? Mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
Amen.
Preacher, I can't have peace. I just can't. I can't get over it. I don't feel like coming to church, and I'm just down. You don't know what happened to me at work today, and you don't know what it is, and you don't know what that.
Stop.
Amen.
Stop. Start thinking right. Because when you and I start thinking right, we will have the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's not some fleeing thing that the Lord has a yo-yo and he drops it down and says peace on it. We go to grab it. He goes, you try it again. Can't get it again. Let's try again. It's not like that at all. He says, here's my peace. But the battle's in the mind.
Amen.
The question is, will we win it? Amen. Let's pray.